I'm Mark Smith. Joining me by phone today is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, how are you? Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being with us this morning. I want to start out this morning talking about a very important piece of legislation, especially for our part of the country, the Senate version of the Farm Bill. Moved out of committee, but you voted against it. What were the problems you had with it?
Well, what we're trying to do is get a farm bill that protects all of the different sections, all of the different regions of agriculture. And myself, Senator Cochran from Mississippi, Saxby Chambliss from Georgia, Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, really didn't feel like that the safeguards were in place to help with the crops that southern agriculture deals with, rice and peanuts, cotton, and then again, particularly when they're irrigated. So this was just kind of the first skirmish. We made our opposition very clear. We're working with the House. Rick Crawford's doing a great job over there, working with Frank Lucas, the chairman. And, in visiting with them, they have much different vision as to where the bill ought to go, much, much more friendly to southern agriculture. So we'll be working together. And I think at the end of the day, we'll have a product that we're pleased with. This is so important. The state of Arkansas is so important to America. Not only, are our farmers working so hard and feeding Americans, but feeding a good part of the world.
Now, these were all the southern state senators on the Ag Committee that voted against this.
Yes, they did. Again, because they felt like the southern agriculture wasn't, the safety net wasn't in place like we'd like for it to be.
Now, you mentioned working with the House. Why did the Senate bill, Ag Committee, come out with the Farm Bill first? It's usually, isn't it the House that usually writes up the Farm Bill and then the Senate kind of tweaks it from there? How did that get kind of flip-flopped?
You're exactly right. And I think that the House was concerned that they would do something and then the Senate's been a little bit dysfunctional, for the last year or two. And so what they wanted was to really, they basically told the Senate, look, we want to get this done. It's so important, but we're not going to move forward till we see, if you're going to move forward. We don't want to go to the work of getting it done and then nothing happening. And so, we've got a product, the House will have a product, and then hopefully pretty soon it will go to conference and we'll get the differences hammered out.
Well, there were, of course, differences about about the safety net for southern farmers. There were also some concerns about proposed cuts in nutrition programs like SNAP that some people had expressed.
Well, I'd like to see, some real reform put in the program. There was one individual that voted against it because she felt like there shouldn't be any reform at all, that it was unconscionable to cut the program. We're really not talking about cutting the program. We're talking about cleaning up some of the waste, the fraud, the inefficiency. And there is a lot of that in that program. It is many, many billions of dollars. It's a very important program. But there's not any area of government right now that I don't think you could go in and, from an efficiency standpoint, shuffle things around where you could make sure that the program is going to the people that it was designed to serve.
Yeah, that's the difficult part, is how do you determine where the waste, the fraud, and the inefficiencies lie? Well, I believe we've lost Senator Bozeman on the phone. Perhaps he'll call back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to kind of hang on the line here and see if he calls back in, and apologize for that phone line being cut off. Things happen. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, mainly before 1 p.m. Should be cloudy most of the day, and there's Senator Bozeman calling back. We will get him back on the phone now. Senator, do I have you back?
No, I apologize.
I got cut off there, and glad you were able to call back in. We're still on the air, and we'll just continue on where we left off. And we were talking about the Farm Bill, and in another farm-related topic, Well, let me ask you first, what happens next with the Farm Bill? You said the House will come out with its version, and then you'll have to get together and come to an agreement on what to pass. The current Farm Bill is due to expire, I believe, in September. Is that right?
Yes, it is. And so that's a deadline, again, that will be pushing us to work really hard. We'll be working with Frank Lucas, and then again, Rick is doing a great job. In fact, Rick asked Frank Lucas to bring a hearing to Jonesboro, and we really need to compliment those that participated out at the university. They did a great job. I came and sat through that. I learned a lot. It was great. But I've had several of the people that came and participated in that and said, look, as far as members of Congress, they said this was one of the best. Well, they said it was the best hearing of its type that they'd had this year. So that's very, very good.
All right. Now, there again, on a farm-related topic, there was another proposal that would have affected young people who work on farms. And you made a proposal to deal with that.
I did. This is so crazy. They were having the Labor Department came out with a proposal that would, what they were trying to do is really not allow young people to work on the farm. They said it was too dangerous. But my girls were all state record book winners. They showed cattle. Under this scenario, they probably would not have been able to do that. Herding cattle, was listed as too dangerous. A 15, 16-year-old kid wouldn't be able to use a power screwdriver. No work on as far as running heavy equipment. If you wanted your child to go help the neighbor, down the road, bouquet or whatever, help in the fields, you'd have to get a work permit. It was just absolutely crazy. So I had an amendment to try and shift that from the Labor Department into the Agriculture Department, and we really didn't have the authority to do that under that bill. So I did it just so I could make a statement about how crazy this was. And then later that day, the administration came out and actually pulled the Labor Department proposal. So for right now, we don't have to deal with it. But it was one of those things. It was just over the top.
Yeah, it sounds like a proposal that was initially designed, I guess, maybe with good intentions in protecting children from practices that in the workplace that they shouldn't be exposed to. But then it just went too far. They didn't understand how the farm culture works. In the agriculture regions.
You're exactly right. Now, I was blessed and had a decent athletic career, but I got hurt, and at times pretty significantly, as did many of my teammates, whether you play football or soccer or basketball or, whatever sport. So, when you're out and you're actively engaged in things, there's injuries. But I would argue that those children, growing up on the farm, learning the value of work, working most times every day, that those children, when you look at their contribution to society in the future, compared to some urban kids, and I would say that there's no comparison. So, you just have to have common sense with these things.
On another issue with implications for farmers, growers in some states report having trouble finding laborers for their fields due to laws that have seem to have scared off many migrant workers, some of whom have been working in the same fields for generations. This problem came up when the Supreme Court was hearing arguments regarding Arizona's immigration law.
Well, I think all of us agree that the one area that where we need seasonal workers is with agriculture, and so we need a good strong visa program that allows people to come and work, in situations like that. And so that's a reform that needs to be made. And then hopefully we will get that straightened out so that the agricultural community will have the workers that they need to in the future.
Well, I know many of our rural communities have been very concerned about the proposed closure of their post offices in many rural areas that are facing possible closure. What's the latest on this issue?
Well, we actually passed a bill, which I voted for in the last week or two, concerning post offices and helping them to get reorganized. The post office is going through a phase, much like so many of our businesses, whether it's you know, when in going into your very modern broadcast facility and things, it's broadcasting has changed probably more, you know, in the last 5-10 years than it has since the invention of the profession. Sure. Well, with the post office, with email and texting and all of these kind of things, they have to reinvent themselves. My state director tells me, you know, always mention that when we get calls about the post office, you know, 85% of that is either email or calling. You know, nobody's writing us. And so we do need to protect our smaller post offices where we have a lot of elderly people, people that are dependent on their medicines. They don't have access to the Internet, or they don't know how to use it. And, you know, these are areas that need to be protected. And yet the post office, in order to maintain its solvency and to go forward, be viable, they have to reinvent themselves. And that's really what this bill is all about.
There's a story going around, it's unconfirmed, but a story going around that says that it was a mandated change in how the Postal Service has to fund its employee retirement system that helped really hurt the Postal Service in its financial matters. Is there any truth to that, and how can that be changed in the future to help the Post Office?
Well, one of the problems, and this is not, you know, the major reason that the post office is having problems, again, it's because when you look at the amount of mail in the past few years compared to normal, not too long ago, it's just drastically reduced. But one of the problems that they had was that the formula that was used to subtract retirement benefits, they were having to pay in a lot higher percentage, than needed to be. So what this bill does is actually give them that money back. And so, and they're going to get the money back. They do have areas, you know, where they do need to close some post offices. And what this will do is allow them to take that money and then have early buyouts, early retirements. But this will refund the money back, and that will correct the situation that you're referring to.
Okay. Another issue that's come up, a new rule from the National Labor Relations Board is due to go into effect, which would speed up the process for workers to get a union vote. You and other Republicans have tried to prevent this rule from going into effect. Why the opposition to that?
Well, we did, and you know, everyone has the right to unionize. But what we're seeing coming from Washington, from this particular, National Relations Board that was appointed by the president, and certainly the president has tremendous union support, is an effort to slant the rules such that it's very easy to unionize. Makes it much more difficult, particularly for small businesses. When you make the time frame so short, this cuts it down to about 10 days for the election. It's very difficult for the small business person. They don't have the resources to actually get the information to their employees, explain the pros and cons of unionization. And so I was very much opposed to this. And we weren't able to defeat it, you know, in the Senate. But it is an issue that's going to come up in the future. And if you want to join the union, fine. But it shouldn't be that Washington is pushing unionization as this current National Labor Relations Board is.
Well, still, it's always seemed to me like if a business or corporation is paying its employees fairly and providing insurance and benefits and treating its employees well, it shouldn't have to worry too much about calls for unionization. Satisfied employees don't see the need.
Well, you're exactly right. And yet you have information is not correct information being put out by the union sometimes in an effort to organize. The business has to counter that and explain the benefits that they truly are getting. And that's the importance of having time to do that and not to shorten the period, to such a slight degree. Card check, you know, where you just check a card is another thing. And what that tries to do is get away with the secret ballot, so that you don't have a union person staring over your shoulder, knowing how you're voting. secret ballots go back to when we were in grade school, you know, voting for the hall monitor, and everybody put their head on their desk and raised their hand, you know. That's how we do elections in America. And so these are efforts that are coming out of Washington to make it much more easier to push unionization upon employers.
And one real final issue, just there's a running out of time here, but college students and their parents are concerned about an impending sharp increase in the interest rate on student loans. This is especially a concern here at ASU, of course, and everywhere. But everybody seems to agree we all need to hold off on this hike in the interest rate on student loans, but what we seem to not agree on, as always, is how to pay for it.
Yes, and we're going to work through that, but it's important to remember that the reason that we're in this mess is that under the Obamacare bill, they federalized student loans. And the idea was to take, and we get the money from the Treasury, about 2.8%, that's loaned to the students. The idea was to loan it to students at 6.7%, I think, take the difference between that, and then that money was going to be used to help pay for Obamacare. And we've seen this big backlash. I voted against that law. And, you know, the idea of federalizing student loans for that, trying to profit, you know, from them to help care for the health, to help pay for the health care bill, simply wasn't right. And there's been so much pushback that, that they're having to run from that now. But it's ironic the president's running around the country, you know, campaigning on this. And it was his bill that actually put us in this, you know, in the fix that we're in to begin with. So, you know, one group has their idea of how to pay for it. Republicans would like to take it back out of the Obamacare bill, you know, which you should have never been there in the first place.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. I appreciate your time today, Senator.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Congratulations on your successful funding drive. I know that that's a real compliment to the great job that you all do at the station and the tremendous support that you have in the area.
Well, thank you so much.